The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're live for you, and it's a gorgeous day in the Washington metropolitan area. You know, this program is designed to bring you into present time with so many different things that you may not have even thought about, but you've been feeling it. It's been biting you. It's been, you know, what do I do about this stuff? You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the present time situation that's out there. But after, you know, the last couple of days and seeing all of you out there riding bikes, some of you playing tennis, some of you going out and hitting the links and playing golf, it brings about certain situations that can show up. And that's called pain, you know, pain that stops us all and makes us kind of, you know, not like what's going on even more so than what's going on. And what we're going to talk about today is something that's really present time because of all the stuff. You've been hanging around inside for way too long. You've been spending the last 3 months quarantined, if you will, and not doing much. And some of you, you know, have put on way too much weight. And now you want to go out and you want to, you know, start exercising like it was yesterday. But you've been limping along and wondering, what can I do about this leg pain or back pain? Actually, what we're going to talk about today is sciatica and low back and leg pain. And to help me do that, none other than the dear Dr. Jerry Cowart. And you know, this social distancing stuff is taking on a new meaning right now because we're broadcasting from my house. And I'm sitting in my office and Dr. Cowart's sitting in my family room. And it's not because we're trying to social distance, because we get too much squeal back on broadcast. Anyway, Dr. Cowart, welcome. Good to see you on the screen where, you know, I can see you around the corner if I kind of put my head around the edge of the wall here. Anyway, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
So we're going to talk about sciatica. And so for our listeners, what sciatica is pain that travels down the leg, but it's only in a certain direction. It's not the front of the leg. It's the back of the leg. It's from the buttocks all the way down. It kind of takes a turn sometimes. It goes down to the lateral aspect of the lower part of the leg, sometimes just slightly to the outside of the upper part of the leg, but generally down the back. And it can be extremely painful. It can be brutal. It can be fire-like. It can be, you know, like somebody's sticking a hot poker in your leg. But anyway, let's talk about, you know, the situation. You know, I learn from everybody that comes into the practice, and you've been with us now a while, and, you know, your information is really straight up. How significant, how much does this – a better question is, let's start with how – many people suffer from leg pain or sciatica or back pain on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, so the prevalence is pretty high when you look at it, mainly because of the nature how a lot of times it starts. About the literature states about 40% of people will experience sciatica in their life. And the prevalence is definitely more so that goes up with age because of some degeneration nature with it.
Now, you got to be real careful how you use that age thing today, right?
Right.
Just say, go ahead.
And, you know, with that, I don't know that the literature supports it much nowadays, but I remember it more so when I was younger, that it was definitely more so in men because of men using wallets in their back pocket. And we can talk about some of the mechanics a little bit later on that. But it definitely seems less gender biased nowadays. But it's definitely more prevalent in the older populations. But I mean, I've seen patients as young as 9 years old that can be dealing with sciatica because of the many different ways that it can be brought about in some.
You know, interesting. You brought up the wallet syndrome is basically what it is. You know, this goes back many, many years ago when I was an intern, and I inherited this patient from another intern, as we all do many times as we bring in our own patient loads. Mm-hmm. And this man was a truck driver, and he did long haul, you know, situations, and he had a very hot right leg pain and just burning all the way down, a sciatica. And in those days, you didn't see a lot of people, so you had the time to chit chat with some of the patients. And I'm watching him, you know, get dressed and put his pants back on, and he reaches over and he has this wallet that literally was about 2 inches thick and a little bit more than that, actually. And I said, "Is that your filing cabinet?" He says, "Absolutely." He says, "I have everything that I need, and no matter where I'm at," and so forth. And I said, "So when you're in the truck," I said, "do you take that out?" He says, "Oh, no, no, I always have it on me." I said, "Let me see something." I said, "Sit down with that." And when he sat down, I said, "Now get up." And everything that I had corrected came back.
Yep.
And I said, "Do me a favor." I said, "Take that out of your pocket, put it in on the dashboard, put it in a glove compartment of the truck, whatever it is." And I said, "I don't want you to use that anymore." Now, this man had been suffering with leg pain, sciatica, for probably 2.5 years, and nobody could get rid of it completely. It would help him. Treatment would make a difference, but it would never resolve itself. And so I saw him about a week later, and he said, "You're a miracle worker." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I haven't had any pain since I saw you the last time." I said, "No, you finally got smart and took that wallet out of your hip." But that's common.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think out of all the different ways that sciatica can manifest in the body, that's probably the easiest way, one of the easiest reasons to treat and correct. And I mean, me personally, I no longer carry a wallet. My wallet is attached to my phone, and I rarely have my phone on me. Like if I'm at work or sitting in the car, whatever, I always take it out. So that's why I think it is that particular source has decreased, over time because of technology and different ways that wallets are created. I saw another term for the wallet sciatica is calling credit carditis, which I thought that was kind of clever.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I thought that one was pretty funny. But yeah, that one's definitely a really easy one to fix. And it's something that I'm always watching with my patients because, you know, sometimes the patients will empty out their pockets or whatever. And I'm like, "Hey, don't forget, take that wallet out." And especially, you know, if they're saying, "So what brings you in?" It's low back pain or sciatica problems or whatever. I'm like, "Okay, this is how we're starting. Let's get that wallet out."
Yeah, it's really important to understand, first of all, where the course of something is, meaning if it's affecting the neurological system, where does that start? Where does it end? If it's affecting the muscular system and causing aberration, abnormal muscle firing, where does it start? Where does it end? So you can actually learn the mechanics by understanding the occupation, understanding the environment of the patient that's in front of you and asking the right questions and observing things that, you know, that other physicians may not necessarily observe. Sometimes you come up with answers, you know, that somebody else wouldn't have realized. My guest with me today is Dr. Jerry Cowart, and we are talking about leg pain. And if you'd like to talk to us right now, right here, just simply 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. If you have leg pain, you want to know what to do about it, we can give you some home instructions to help take care of yourself. Or if you'd like to know, is this serious? Is it something other? Or if you go to a doctor, unfortunately, way too many times a patient is told, "Well, it's a disc. You know, it's your low back disc." And it can be involved, but is it? Dr. Cowart, as we get into the program, I want to talk about the different things people can do to help themselves with this. But there are many different initiators. We talked about one, which is basically a block. You know, it's a physical, somebody's sitting on something, causing pressure on that sciatic bundle, that sciatic nerve. And by the way, I want to mention something to our listeners. The sciatic nerve itself is really five nerves. It's not just one. And it comes out about the size of your thumb right at your buttocks where you sit down. And depends on what part of that nerve is irritated is going to determine the distribution of the pain in the leg, into the foot, into wherever it is. So having said that, I'm going to throw it in your court. Tell us a little bit about that bundle, that those five nerve roots that exit, that make up the sciatic distribution.
Absolutely. So those five nerves that end up making up that sciatic nerve start at your fourth lumbar vertebra, and it comes
the low back.
Yes, the low back, absolutely. And then it goes into the sacrum, which is that triangle bone at the very end of the base of your spine. And it's the top three nerves of the sacrum. So those five nerves that you talk about are coming from that low back area. And of course, when we're dealing with the low back, and you know, we talked about the lumbar region and you talked about the disc, a lot of times that's when people have a disc issue. A lot of times it is coming from that lumbar spine. And then when you have those nerves that come together, all five of those nerves come together into that big sciatic bundle you talk about, is about the size of your thumb. In school, we classified it as one of those old school big highlighters because it was big and yellow, similar to kind of like a nerve. And then it goes down into the leg. It passes out of the buttock region and goes down to the back of the thigh, and it starts to branch off into two separate nerves at about the back of the knee. And so that's why initially when you were talking about some of the signs and symptoms of sciatica, that's why, yeah, it's the clear. It sometimes starts in the low back. It definitely hits the buttock region, goes down the back of the leg, but sometimes it can be in the back of the thigh rather. Sometimes it can be in the back of the leg. Sometimes it can be on the outside of the leg. Sometimes it goes in the foot because of the way that huge nerves ends up branching off into two separate ones.
So basically what we have is we have a big old bundle of nerves, like a coaxial cable, if you will, to use that analogy. Absolutely. And it comes from different segments of the spinal column, the spinal cord, and it comes together about the size of our thumb, as we said, and just at the area where our sit bone is, maybe a little bit lateral to that and above it, and depends on what happens, or meaning the pressure or where it's coming from, it can give us all kinds of symptom process. So, you know, is a sciatic pain simply a burning pain, or can manifest in a lot of different types of symptoms? So how would a patient know, based on pain patterns, what a sciatica is really like?
Yeah, so sometimes it is that low back pain that we talked about. Oftentimes you do have that burning sensation down the back of the thigh, and sometimes into the leg and feet. You definitely get a lot of that pinpoint sharp pain right there in the buttock area a lot of times. Sometimes if you are feeling numbness, weakness, tingling into the feet, that can be another huge red flag there that we're dealing with some sort of sciatic pattern. Those are the main ones that we're looking at. So ding, 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 we're probably looking at sciatica here.
So when we're talking about sciatica and the pain distribution, whether it's a burning pain, a throbbing pain, a knife-like pain, just a deep, hard ache, the distribution is down the leg, down the back of the leg, slightly to the outside in the upper portion of the leg, into the calf, down into the foot, a little bit lateral into the foot. The big toe can be involved, you know, if it's more than just the pain pattern distribution. If it's motorical or motor function, we could have other losses as well. Mm-hmm. That sciatic bundle, as we're talking about, that sciatic nerve is one that can be quite involved relative to its other mechanical distributions and parts and things that affect it. So what I want to do is, as we come back into the second or the next part of the program, I want to talk about other connections that people may not have thought about. My guest in studio, Dr. Jerry Cowart. We're talking about that pain in your butt and your leg and your foot. We'll be right back. It's called sciatica. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we are live. We figure out a way to get you the most informative data that you need to correct things. And you know what? Everybody's outside playing. You got a reprieve. So we're playing some tennis. We're out playing golf. We're lifting things. We're in the garden. And all of a sudden, you realize you have this leg pain. It hurts. It throbs. And what that leg pain is all about, it's called sciatica. It's that throbbing, is that burning, is that aching, is that electrical thing. It changes positionally, and there's a lot of things that you can do about it, and there's no reason to suffer and have somebody tell you, well, it's your low back disc, and then they either do injections in the disc, or they put you on gabapentin and anti-inflammatories, and that doesn't work, and you just live a lifetime of all kinds of discomfort, when often this is something that can be dealt with and made to go away very, very rapidly. My guest today, Dr. Jerry Cowart, and kind of interesting, we're both in my home and different rooms of the house, not because we're socially distancing, but we're trying to make sure that we don't have feedback on our microphones so we could talk to you clearly. Anyway, Dr. Cowart, welcome back again.
Thanks.
we're talking about this crazy leg pain, the sciatica, and you know, there's so many people who live ongoing. They take tons of medications, and but there's a lot of reasons why we end up with leg pain. And sometimes, as we said, it goes into the foot. Sometimes it's accompanied by back pain. Sometimes, you know, it's just there and it's positional. We talked a little bit about my friend, the truck driver that I treated, you know, decades ago, and he was sitting on his wallet and causing his leg to throb. But I want to encourage our listeners, if you're suffering from leg pain, if you're taking medications, you want to figure out how to get off of it, or you want to talk to us about something else completely different, just simply call us. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on this subject or anything else that you might have in mind. Dr. Cowart, you know, we talked about this distribution, but there are a lot of different reasons why we end up with sciatica. And just mention a couple, then in the second half of the program, we'll get into a little bit more specifically and more importantly, what people can do about it. And this program, this sciatica, this leg pain program, by the way, will be available to you online like several of other programs. Obviously, we can't have you in the office right now, but soon we will be. But right now, we're going to still put these out to you so you can have it. All you need to do is call the Rozelle Center for Healing at 703-698-7117 or simply go to the website at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And scroll down. You'll see it. Register here. Ask for it. And it will be sent to you. And you can watch it in the privacy of your own home. And by the way, share it. You're welcome to, you know, to show anybody that you'd like to that might have leg pain as well. Dr. Cowart, let's talk a little bit about the different origins, the different triggering mechanisms of this craziness that called leg pain.
Yeah. So like we talked about before, probably the most common one would be that low back, that lumbar region with the disc or possible degeneration, things of that nature. But some more uncommon, or I guess, less looked at origins can be stuff like the upper cervical, which would be the upper part of your neck, mainly because we see when we're looking at biomechanics of the spine, opposite parts of the spine move and operate very similarly to each other. So if we're looking at the low back of the spine, we also need to look at the opposite end of it, which would be the upper part of your neck, which is, you know, right below the base of the skull, because that spinal cord that runs throughout the spine, the dural attachments are very similar to those two parts of the area, of the spine. So if you got one issue at one end, you're almost always going to have an issue or some sort of derangement at that opposite end. So we want to look at the upper part of the neck as well with that. Some other common ones, you know, we're talking about that sacrum, that triangle bone at the base of the spine that we mentioned before. That complex with the sacrum in your hip bones, your ilium, also work very similarly to how your jaw works, that temporal mandibular joint, that TMJ that everyone knows about. That also has very similar biomechanics and operate very similarly. So an issue within the jaw can also be some sort of derangement within that hip, pelvis, sacral area.
So somebody who's suffering from TMJ or temporomandibular syndrome, they can end up not showing pain there, but they could show pain in the leg or both?
Absolutely, yes.
So, you know, a lot of people don't think about that. And right. It's actually a very common presentation. We see it quite often. And, you know, a lot of athletes wear mouth guards. And unfortunately, they do off the shelf stuff. They go into the sporting shop and they grab one, and they put it in their mouth, and you know they throw it in a bucket of hot water, boiling water, and then they fit it, they form fit it themselves. But unfortunately, that's not adjusting for something that may be aberrant to begin with, and because of that, temporomandibular joint works with the sacroiliac joint, that sacrum and ilium together. Because if you watch somebody on a treadmill, and you hooked them up to what we call thermistors, these little signaling devices, and watch it on a scope, you'd see both ends of these things fire at the same time, you know, and that's what we call the normal gate mechanism. So yes, you can do it from, if you have a, you go to the dentist and they don't put a filling in correctly, if they put a crown in incorrectly and so forth, that can mechanically disturb that lower back as well, causing that leg pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head about the run in the mill, over the counter, so to speak, mouth guards with athletes forming to something that may not already be correct for them to begin with. Like if they have a crown and their vertical dimensions and the teeth aren't appropriate for them, it's kind of no different than getting a basic orthotic for the foot. If you don't have the proper biomechanics operating and your feet aren't properly aligned, then putting an orthotic onto something that's already not appropriate isn't going to do you much good.
Well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about several of these things, and there's so much more when it comes, you know, to what really is going on with that leg and what's going on with that burning that people get. But we're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. My guest in studio, Dr. Jerry Cowart. We'd love to talk to you on this subject or anything. All you got to do is give us a call, 888-630-9625. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, we are. It's a beautiful day outside, so make sure you go out and walk a little, stretch a little, breathe a little, take those masks off while you're walking around. This COVID, anything and anything that else is out there, it's not going to jump you while you're walking by yourself or, you know, with a family member. It's, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Trust me, it does not work that way. If you want more information on any of that stuff, check out my Facebook page and my social media sites, because I'm always posting medical information and occasionally I'll give you my opinion. And then you're always welcome to send me a note and ask a question. You can ask me right now here on the radio if you'd like to at 888-630-9625. But if you go to Facebook, it's not the office. It's not Rozell Center for Healing Facebook. It's Tom Rozell Facebook. And you'll find it. Get there. You don't have to friend me or anything else. You can just go in and snoop around and see what's there and get whatever data that you'd like to. And you know, send me a note. I'll answer you. We have no problem with that. And by the way, if you'd like to talk to any of our doctors at any time, somebody will always get back to you. All you have to do is call the office at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And leave a message and say, hey. And by the way, I want to remind you, if you want to be tested for COVID-19, if you want to find out if you have the antibodies, we're working with a laboratory called KBMO Labs, and they will send you the kit, and it's an extremely effective kit. Effectiveness rate runs between 93% to 97%, and it'll tell you whether you've been exposed, which is the IgG antibody, and you have protection, or you happen to be active, and which is your IgM as well. So just call the office and tell the staff, listen, you know, I'd like to be tested for COVID-19. And what they'll do is they'll ask you some questions. They'll get a credit card number from you. The laboratory will send you the test directly. You follow through. It's a real simple test, by the way. They have this little spring gizmo in it, and you put it against your finger, and you don't even feel it. It's boom, it's fast. And you're going to put a little bit of a drop of blood in five little circles, and you let it dry, air dry, you send it back to the laboratory, and one of our doctors will get on the phone with you. Dr. Cowart will call you and get on the phone with you and give you results within 2 to 3 days at the longest, and also guide you and tell you what needs to be done. So that's real simple. All you got to do is 703-698-7117. And by the way, if you want to get a special presentation on leg pain, on sciatica and the things that are causing it, what you can do about it, this is an opportunity. This program leads you to our website, rozellcare.com, and you'll scroll down. You'll, like always, you'll see the presentation, and all we're going to ask you to do is say, I want the presentation. Register here. And this week we will send Dr. Coward's whole presentation. You can watch it in the privacy of your house and really put it to use. Dr. Coward, let's get back into the program. We're talking a little bit about, you know, the different mechanisms, and you talked a little bit about temporomandibular joint and how it relates to other other elements as well. You go to the dentist, or somebody goes to the dentist, and they have a crown put in, or they have a post put in, or something. If the dentist does not get the vertical dimension correct, that can trigger a problem. Why? Why do you see patients, you know, that they come in and they have this leg pain, nobody can do anything about it, but this is the triggering mechanism. Why is that?
Well, when you have the vertical dimensions that are off within the joint, the teeth aren't going to be lining up properly. Your jaw will end up shifting one way to the other, or sometimes I see both sides have some sort of misalignment or derangement going on within that joint. Because we see that the joint themselves, the jaw, that mandible, the mentum, which is the part of the mandible, like in the front, basically where your chin is, and the intrinsic muscles around that jaw act very similarly and have that gate mechanism, like what you talked about before, that will reflex and work in conjunction with that sacroiliac joint, the base of the spine. So when those things aren't working properly, you'll start having a breakdown both there at the joint or at the jaw, but you also start having a breakdown within that sacroiliac joint down the spine.
You know, what I want our listeners to really understand is the body moves in synchrony. It moves in a harmonious package, if you will. So if you put somebody on a treadmill or go outside and watch it. When I was in school, we used to go out to some of these outdoor malls and sit there and watch people walk around. And we'd watch their body mechanics and what they would do. But seriously, you know, as you move, your right shoulder, your left hip work together. Your elbow and your opposite knee work together. The same thing mechanically within the spinal column. The upper part of the spine, we call the neck or the cervical spine, the first vertebrae there works with the last vertebrae in the low back. The second one works with the second to the last vertebrae. But that skull, that TMJ, also affects the pelvic posture pattern. And so if your temporomandibular joint is off, if your teeth aren't hitting properly, you can end up with not only low back pain, but you can end up with this thing we're talking about, the sciatica, that is just burning sometimes and causing awful problems. And people are put on drugs and say, well, you know, your options are either surgery or drugs or to put blocks in and so forth. And what we know is that that's not necessary. There's one other piece that's very common that I want to talk about. It's called a piriformis syndrome, and that can cause this problem. Where did the term piriformis syndrome come from, and why does it cause leg pain?
So the piriformis syndrome, as the name would suggest, comes from that piriformis muscle. It attaches or originates from the sacrum, again, that triangle bone at the base of the spine, and it transverses outward and attaches to the outside of the top of the femur or where your hip would be. And that sciatic nerve, that giant bundle nerve that we talked about before, passes right underneath that piriformis muscle. So there's some literature that says that if that muscle gets very tight and constricted, it can apply pressure onto that muscle, similar to like what a pinched nerve may be, you know, if you're thinking about like a pinched nerve. But there's also some literature that can say sometimes it's also the opposite. When that muscle is not working properly, it'll start getting flaccid and weak, and it'll just kind of drape and lay onto the sciatic nerve, also causing something very similar to like a pinched nerve with that.
So that's the whole, you know, ankle bones connected to the knee bone, connected to the hip bone, connected all the way through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, with what we do with the polykinesiology, a lot of times we are more worried about the muscle not working, being inhibited, and figuring out why. And so at least within my practice, I typically see that when the piriformis isn't working properly, that's when I start seeing a lot more of the sciatic nerve, the sciatica, like pain and patterns and things of that nature with that.
888-630-9625. That's how you reach Dr. Cowart right now, right here. And if you'd like to listen to this whole presentation, it's real simple. All you have to do is go online at rozellecare.com. and register for the program. And again, want to remind you, as we said earlier, just before the break, that if you want to get tested for COVID-19, it's real simple. our office has cooperated with KBMO Laboratories, and all you got to do is give us a call and let us know that you'd like to make that happen. Our staff will take a credit card number from you and some other information, and the laboratory will send it directly to your home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to stand in line. It's extremely significant test, and it's real simple. All you have, there's a little gizmo in there that you put it up against your finger and it goes click. You don't even feel it. And it allows you to put a drop of blood on five little circles, within the test kit. You air dry it, you send it to the lab. It measures the DNA pattern and it gives you the results. So it's real simple. Simply call 703-698-7117 and our staff will take care of that. Dr. Coward, let's talk a little bit about this leg pain, this sciatica, this burning. You know, a lot of people, you know, we started the program. You said that something in the neighborhood of 40% of the population will suffer from leg pain, sciatica, at one point or another, and even going into younger people. So when you take a look at the general population, considering that young people do have it, but not anywhere near the frequency, that means that, you know, us older folks, we have leg pain that we've been ignoring or we're taking drugs for or whatever, and the rate is much, much higher. So tell me how you evaluate this. How can you tell the difference, if you will, between a piriformis problem that we just talked about ago, whether it's a temporomandibular joint problem, that jaw is causing that low back not to work the way it's supposed to, or it's a low back problem that's coming from one of the segments that you talked about, either lumbar 4, lumbar 5, sacral 1, 2, or 3. And we said the sciatic nerve is really a big bundle of nerves. It's not just one nerve. So sciatica is a group of nerves, or the sciatic bundle, the sciatic nerve branch, is a bundle of nerves, and it depends on which one. But how do you distinguish it? That's the most important thing. How do you know where it's coming from? Because that's the only way that you can treat it properly, is if you know where it's coming from.
Yeah, so there's definitely some orthopedic tests that can be done that can evaluate for disc involvement, for sciatic involvement. You know, you're looking at, you know, if you're just talking to the patient, they first come in and you're just getting their normal history and you're talking to them. And, you know, when we were in school, we would call just the jaw is just wagging side to side as they're talking, meaning that there's no stability in the jaw. It's probably likely that it could be coming from the jaw. You know, you're watching them walk and you see that there is, you know, like aberrant walking mechanisms within the foot or in the leg. You know, maybe it's coming from the low back or something lower in that kinetic chain down the leg. You're looking at all the different pieces, putting them together. And, you know, there can also be diagnostic imaging. We can always take a look at, you know, x-ray looking at degeneration. We can take a look at CT or MRI to see if there's disc involvement, you know, within those spinal nerves. You're looking at a lot of motion, muscle testing, muscle function down the leg to see, you know, what muscles could be affected. And you can do the same thing within the neck, that cervical spine as well, and also into that the jaw. There's a lot of different things that you can do so far as diagnostic testing with, you know, the imaging or muscle testing, anything like that, where you can really hone in and figure out what's really going on here and how many different systems are involved with this process.
How much this mechanical pattern and others like that causing leg pain is due to bad shoes, meaning, you know, somebody's wearing a heel. Ladies, yeah, I'm picking on you right now. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I beg forgiveness, but, you know, we have a contract with the Shoemakers of America. And as long as they continue to making high heels, we will continue to contribute to the retirement plan. Because at one point or another, you're going to get into our office. So no, seriously, all kidding aside, how much of a contribution does aberrant shoe wear, you know, cause this problem to exist, persist, you know, in your opinion?
Oh, it's extremely common. You know, we did spend a lot of today's conversation so far talking about the central aspect of anatomy and working its way outward, meaning like coming from the spine, going down the leg, or coming from the neck and the TM and the jaw going down into the hip and pelvis. But sometimes you also have to look at what I call the basement principle of what is your foundation of your body looking like. And if your foundation isn't working appropriately, it will start to reflex upward, you know, throughout the house. If your basement's not stable, then your first floor is not going to be stable and everything going up all the way to the attic. It's the same thing with your body. If your feet aren't moving properly, if you've got subluxations in the foot, if you've got your muscles that move the foot just aren't working properly, yeah, you're going to be destroying that whole SI joint and in turn causing that sciatica like pain distributions. And again, the shoes oftentimes are going to be the biggest culprits with that. If you don't have a good quality shoe or you're wearing the high heels, that will end up shortening muscles and then causing muscles to not work like they're supposed to. Yeah, you're going to get all of those derangements and more.
So when you have a patient that has a sciatic pain, when you have someone that comes in and says, you know, my leg is killing me. And as soon as I stand up, it's a problem. If I sit around too long, it's a problem. I can't sit for more than 20 minutes at a time before my leg starts aching. And if I'm up for more than, you know, 25, 30 minutes, or if I'm staying one position, my leg starts aching. How do you distinguish, you know, what makes the differentiating diagnosis of where the silliness is coming from? You know, is it somebody who has, at that point, is that low back? Is it a sacroiliac problem? Is it a foot problem? How do you walk through that pattern?
Well, it sounds like you're kind of describing everyone who's working from home right now. So this is actually kind of a problem that we're seeing even more commonly nowadays than what we were before, say, I don't know, February, March of this year. But a lot of times that can be due to a ligament instability. You've got a lot of ligaments within that hip and pelvis that help keep it all together and tight and moving functionally. And a lot of times we see that, you know, stress patterns can cause those ligaments to not be stable. And right now, again, like I said, before February and March, or rather after February and March, people are under a lot more stress nowadays. And on top of that, they don't have proper work ergonomics at home that they may have had while they were at work. So yeah, it would make sense that if you're sitting for a long period of time working, like say at a computer or whatever, you would start to have that sciatica pain because your hip and pelvis and sacral area isn't going to be stable enough to be able to maintain the proper support that you would need.
So here's something that, you know, you started tiptoeing into the area, and I'm going to touch because we only have a short time before the break. That sacroiliac is one huge band of ligamentous tissue, to follow up on what your conversation was just that. And those ligaments have special nutritional needs. And subsequently, with all the stress patterns, with all the aberrant dietary interests people have had since they've been home, it's going to cause a depletion, if you will, in the amount of proper nutrition that all ligaments in the body need, but especially an area that is only supported by ligaments. So subsequently, what takes place is people are walking around, you know, they have no glue. They have nothing to hold it together. I'm going to touch on that a little bit more when we come back. It's really important. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest today, Dr. Jerry Cowart, and he'll be your presenter this week. All you have to do is go to RizzoCare.com to register for that class. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you around the country and are listening to us, you know the drill. You know what your time frames are, and we thank you so much. And let everybody know that we're here for you. We've had a couple calls that come in, and it kind of is a little bit to stray on from the studio to here, but we've got them, and I want to take the time and answer the questions. John from Arlington, how can I help you, sir? What's going on?
Yeah, hi, sir. I'm a asthmatic senior citizen, and you know, I really can't wear the mask in the supermarket for more than a minute or two. I just thought I'd share that with you.
See, what's happening, John, is that for most of us, when you're wearing the masks, particularly the N95s, you can't breathe through those things, and you're forcing carbon dioxide back into your tissue. And subsequently, your body's going to be gasping and struggling for air. And if you already have a problem with asthma, it's going to make things much worse. So what I would say to you is, if you have to wear a mask, don't cover your nose, just cover your mouth. And you can protect others from, you know, your exhalation, if you will, but you'll be able to breathe and be able to get air in. And, you know, hopefully you're taking the right nutrient bases. You're taking your vitamin D, you're taking your zinc. This time of the year, quercetin, and something that we, you know, will tell our patients, your quercetin and N-acetylcysteine will also help with breathing patterns. So if you struggle more in the spring or the fall, you know, this cytokine cascade that they're talking about that's causing people to struggle with this virus, that also happens with any type of respiratory pattern or things that we're allergic to. So there's ways of handling that, but that would be my suggestion to you, is that, you know, one, unless you have to put the mask on, you're not going to have any problem walking down the street by yourself, or, you know, with a family member who you know is relatively okay. But because you're asthmatic and you're older, you may have some challenges. You just have to be more careful. But I would, again, I would say just put the mask, if you have to wear one, over your mouth and at least be able to breathe. But there's a lot of nutrients that should be in your body, from vitamin D to zinc to quercetin to vitamin C to N-acetylcysteine and so forth. All these things can make a difference. And if we can help you with that, John, just give us a call. Dr. Cower to get on the phone with you, and we'll go from there. Let's go to Catherine. Catherine, you're calling me from Alney. How can I help you?
Hello there. You did mention briefly blood tests. I wanted to know, there are two tests. One is the nasal test and the blood test. Now, which is the best one to take to test?
Well, it depends on if you want to be uncomfortable with a swab going in your nose, or if you want to be, if you just want to have some blood drawn. They're both of those are genetic tests. There's some other things that you can use too. Actually, there's several companies now that will test every body fluid that you can come up with, regardless of where it's coming from blood to mucus to stool to so forth. And they can give you the DNA fractions of this virus. So there's a lot of really good stuff out there. The ones that we're using for people to be in the comfort of their own homes is about 97% accurate. So you're about a 3% differential. So what that means is that as somebody who tests positive, there's maybe a 2 to 3% chance that positive test is inaccurate. But it's close enough that we haven't really found many aberrations. And if we find somebody that we suspect that needs to be tested differently, we'll send them out with a prescription to get those done. But the KBMO test that you can do in the privacy of your own house works really, really well, and it gives you a very good look at that. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's important is, you know, I'll give you this. There's, up until last Friday, between four offices, we've run close to 600 tests at this point. And of the 600 tests that we're using, we've only had about 15 that have come back positive IgG or IgM. Now, IgG is what you want. If you want to win the lottery, IgG is it, because now you're protected. If you have IgM, that means that you have you can infect somebody, or you should have symptoms. But you know what? Out of the ones that we had, the three or four that were IgMs, none of them had any symptoms whatsoever. And so it's just kind of curious in the observation that, you know, there hasn't been as many that we've found that have been positive. So, you know, I'll let your mind work with that. Go on to my website at my social website at Facebook, Tom Rozelle, and read down through the things that I've posted, and I'll give you some other links. Dr. Cower, let's get back to what we're talking about. This, you know, we could talk about that for the rest of the day. And obviously, if you get me started, I've got all kinds of data and information that I'd like to impart. But, you know, the testing for COVID-19 can be done today very accurately. Even the home tests are very good for the most part. You know, some of them I wouldn't use because the accuracy rate is a little lower. But when you get to about a 97% accuracy rate, that's, as they say, good enough for government work, and you can really pick up most of everything that goes on. If you want to be fully accurate, then you're going to do the nasal swabs, or you're going to be doing, the stool tests or the blood tests, and some of the other DNA testing. But anyway, you've got a great program that's coming up. We got about a minute to talk about it. Tell us what's going to cover.
Yeah, so we'll talk about some basic statistics of who all is affected by sciatica. We're going to talk about, the anatomy, where is it coming from, what is sciatica and what is not sciatica. And then a lot of different common contributors to that typical sciatica pain patterns as well, some nutritional components that can be involved, and then ultimately, you know, how do we plan on treating a lot of the common issues that relate to the sciatica pain patterns as well.
You know, that's a lot of information. And seriously, folks, if you have leg pain, if you have things that are just kind of biting at you and you don't know what to do with it, you can't get rid of it, this is an opportunity. Just go to RoselleCare.com. And remember, we continue to do the program every week with new information and to provoke you a little bit, simply for one reason, that we love you all. You have a great week. I'll be back next week with more data, more information. Take care.